Welcome back to Forecast News with Millie and Afshin, where we look ahead to the events going on around the world in the upcoming week. Now, let's get straight into it, starting with Monday, the 26th of February, 2024. Now, Afshin, the first thing I've got on the agenda is today, French President Emmanuel Macron is hosting an international summit in Paris in support of Ukraine. And that comes just over 2 years after Putin's invasion. And this on the day that Ukraine marks the day of resistance to occupation of Crimea, obviously taken by Russia in 2014, who believe Crimea is theirs. Now, Macron seems to be doing this to send the message that there is no Ukraine fatigue in Europe, despite obviously questions surrounding continued support and support in the US, as Biden appears to be struggling to get through his $60 billion in aid to Ukraine. And perhaps a little surprising this summit as well, given that Macron has previously promoted peace talks in Ukraine, between Russia and Ukraine, and had reportedly pushed China's Xi Jinping to encourage Russia to engage in talks. But what do you think will come of this summit on Monday?
Does anyone really care? I mean, Paris has no autonomy whatsoever. Mm-hmm. The Western European states are proven proxies of the United States. And it's interesting that probably in France itself they won't care, because the economic downturn in Western Europe is so harsh, as they self-sanctioned, as they censored their media, they banned television stations in France. It's a disaster for Western Europe. And of course, they are backing the genocide, although France did vote for the ceasefire at the UN Security Council, mm-hmm. As regards the Gaza genocide, where five Hiroshima bombs, the equivalent of, have now hit Gaza, backed by Britain, the United States, and the European Union countries, apparently it's the worst conflict proportionately for women and children on record in human history. So they have no ability to no moral high ground about Ukraine or anything else, and the whole of the rest of the world clearly just sees them as countries on the decline, and just prays and hopes for the people of Gaza, and prays and hopes for the people of Crimea, of course, because it's well known that, we have cables showing that, of course, support in Crimea is for it being part of Russia. It's they don't even think it out. And the Western press, the news media, what's there to say about them just lying to their publics in Western Europe and the United States?
Okay, well, you mentioned Gaza. Well, that brings us on to elsewhere. On Monday, the International Court of Justice public hearings on Israel are wrapping up at The Hague. And these hearings have been going on for about a week. I'm sure people have been following them. And that's a separate case, of course, to the case brought by South Africa over whether or not Gaza is committed.
Actually, Millie, you say following them, but remember what British television did. They covered the Israeli case and broadcast that and didn't broadcast the pro-Palestine case.
Yeah, well, we know obviously over 50 countries that were speaking at the hearings, and they were brought as part of a request by the UN General Assembly to get an advisory opinion on the legal consequences of Israel's behavior effectively in the occupied Palestinian territories, and the length of which they've been occupied, and of course the self-determination or the lack of self-determination of the Palestinian people. But I thought it was interesting, representatives from Hungary actually said rendering an advisory opinion on this would result in the politicization of the court and could undermine the maintenance of global peace and security, and would be tantamount to adjudicating on the Palestine-Israel question. So they effectively said that the ICJ should decline to exercise an advisory opinion because it could directly contribute to the escalation of the conflict. What do you think of that perspective?
Is justice not always political? Anyway, it's mandated by the United Nations, the World Court. I think while it's laudable what South Africa has done and the legacy of Mandela in doing this, the fact that the World Court hasn't issued verdicts and orders and judgments trying to stop this in a much more speedy way shows the World Court is actually the one on trial. In that sense, Hungary is correct, because the World Court's lawyers, judges have failed in stopping this genocide. There's no point in them deliberating while the mass murder of women and children, you know, on social media, you can see dead children every minute. And now famine Britain, the United States, and the EU continue to arm the Israelis to bomb aid convoys. There are pictures of Israeli trucks going over the aid food and so on. I mean, that's going to kill even more people than the British American, Western European bombs and airstrikes. So does the World Court has proven itself to be useless? Maybe when it makes a judgment later, when who knows how many tens of thousands of civilians are dead, it will be useful. But the idea that justice can be done in these international fora is, I suppose Hungary's right, is absurd. It needs some sort of military action against the perpetrators, and no one is willing to do that.
Well, what do you think about Tuesday? Are you ready for Tuesday?
I was actually going to talk about St. Porphyrius Church. It's a saint's day for the Gaza saint. They bombed the Christian church. 3% of all Christians been killed by Britain, America, and the United States weapons. That would equate to 6.3 million Christians in the United States if you proportionally work it up. No one really cares. I was going to say just here in the UAE, Ministerial Conference on the World Trade Organization. No one cares about the World Trade Organization because everyone's been sanctioned here and there. And I was talking to someone selling biscuits, and just to sell biscuits into Russia or China or wherever, Iran, say, the way that Washington has it is that you might as well be selling nuclear weapons to these countries. It's crazy. You want to go on Tuesday? Let's go to Tuesday.
Tuesday, we're talking about Israel. It's interesting. Israel is actually holding municipal elections. Obviously, won't be held in areas near Gaza and Lebanon. They'll be waiting till November to do that. There's a mayoral election in Jerusalem, which I'm sure will gain quite a bit of attention. These elections have obviously been delayed twice since the 7th of October, but seem to be
They're not really elections, are they? Because there are a whole load of parties that are banned from being able to go for these elections. They're committing genocide, according to most of the Global South countries. It's like elections in Nazi Germany, which, funny enough, is the anniversary of the Reichstag fire that triggered the Nazis taking over Germany. Clearly, why they're not elections. If you're banning loads of parties and have propaganda media which bans any real accounts of what is going on in Gaza, so they're not elections, are they? They're just show pieces to make out that Israel is a democratic country.
Yeah. Well, arguably, you could say the same in a lot of countries, right? You know, is there really true democracy anywhere?
I don't know.
It seems a strange time for even a staged election, arguably. But meanwhile, the World Health Organization, of all organizations there, will be at a select committee session in London, also on Tuesday, which is held by the UK's International Development Committee, on the humanitarian situation in Gaza, because they're currently examining the humanitarian situation. The fact the UK has suspended funding to the UN Relief and Works Agency. You think perhaps they'd start by looking at that. We'll move on to that.
But the fact that the organization is linking up with British authorities shows that the WHO is now implicated in genocide. Why should it even be talking to the British, who are supplying the weapons and the weapons that are destroying aid, apart from murdering women and children? So the World Health Organization is making a big mistake, arguably, in linking up with those who may turn out at the World Court to be co-conspirators in genocide. It's a very strange time. Neither of us were alive during the Second World War, and this is the situation. There are co-conspirators in genocide, and no institution should be talking to the British or the Americans or European powers that are complicit.
Yeah, I'm sure the World Health Organization would deny any wrongdoing or being complicit in genocide.
They're hated now for COVID, aren't they? Although this goes out on Pentagon Contractor YouTube's platform, so best not to talk about increases in all sorts of scholarly papers about those vaccines. Sorry, I shouldn't have mentioned that.
We won't go there. That's really Tuesday for you. I mean, there's as always, the UN Security Council is discussing Syria currently being attacked by Israel.
Real reporting in NATO nations that they bombed Damascus, this ancient capital. Paul, you know, founded the first church, where St. John the Baptist's head is. What are they going to do, these American and British-backed airstrikes? They're going to destroy the ancient city of Damascus? It's crazy.
Well, it happens all the time, doesn't it? It doesn't seem to, despite all these Security Council discussions on Syria seemingly every week, there doesn't really seem to be any progress, as does there ever really seem to be on the Security Council.
I suppose we should say that no matter how much the world hates and despises Washington hegemony and Britain's lackey behavior, at least Russia and China don't go in militarily. To support Palestine, the people of Syria, Yemen, Lebanon, and Iraq, because it could be nuclear war then. I mean, we clearly, in the 2 years since Russia went in to defend eastern Ukraine, we have come close to nuclear conflict, and luckily we haven't yet. Although I noticed this Japanese newspaper, Financial Times, it's called, make out it's English, US raises alarm over prospect of Russian nuclear arms in space. Standard headlines going on about the threat of nuclear war. But anyway, I know we have to rush. I thought you were going to talk about the Eagles Hotel California.
Oh, did you? That okay, and why is that? Story.
I think people will have to look it up. I can't play any of it because of the royalty situation. But, the lyrics of the song go, you can check in, but you can't check out. And that certainly seems to be the politicians of NATO countries in terms of their being bought by the military-industrial complex. But anyway, the cases of the New York Supreme Court, theft of lyrics, blah, blah.
Okay, well, Wednesday. Now, I don't know if you will have heard about this, if you're watching or listening. On Wednesday, there's a court hearing in London. Now, two journalists from Belfast in Northern Ireland, Trevor Burney and Barry McCaffrey, they claim the UK authorities targeted them and were spying on them by monitoring their phones. And this goes back to 2018, where they were both falsely arrested and their homes were raided. And the police actually had to apologise for arresting them. And they were made to apologise in 2019. But they claim that the Northern Ireland Police Service accessed their phone records. And they say this hearing is of concern to all journalists. The Northern Ireland Police deny it, obviously. But it's not quite Julian Assange. But what do you make of this story, hacking?
Yeah, it is. You know, obviously Assange, they're waiting for the some kind of judgment as he's tortured by British authorities in Belmarsh Prison, maximum security prison in London.
Allegedly.
But no, not allegedly.
By the former UN torture.
Yeah, and the new special rapporteur hasn't gone against what the previous one said. He clearly is being tortured by the British. But then Britain has targeted, they targeted us. We're journalists. Britain is no place for journalism, which you can just witness by turning on the television news or reading a British newspaper. There is no free press in Britain. And at least these two brave journalists are taking it to court. Who knows what our phone messages and whatever else have been bugged by the security state in Britain. And clearly journalists have had to leave the country for safety because Britain persecutes journalists. It imprisons them for no crime except journalism. Journalists, although of course there was a bail violation of Julian Assange, so it's not good. And I would just say Wednesday for me is very important because it's 38 years since the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme was assassinated, suspected to this day in a CIA attack, because Olof Palme,
as always,
was a as so often he was a great European leader, and it was a terrible had a terrible impact on European politics because Olof Palme showed great courage in not going along with Washington hegemony. Today, Sweden, it's going to join NATO this week. It's helped to persecute Julian Assange with the help of the now British opposition Labour leader. Sweden, what a place. I don't know whether you buy IKEA furniture, but...
I'm sure your home is kitted out with it.
No. Actually, I did get the new air sensor thing. I didn't have to build it myself anyway.
Okay.
But it is an interesting case, of course, clearly.
Yeah. Well, speaking of assassination or alleged assassination, very much so, also on Wednesday, the famous now late Alexei Navalny's wife, Yulia, is making a speech to the European Parliament in Strasbourg. And that will come just before a debate on Navalny's death and the need for EU intervention in support of political prisoners in Russia. Afshin, what are your thoughts?
Well, clearly the Muslim world, you know, we're speaking to our audience here from a Muslim country, the idea of the European Parliament lauding the death of a man that favored the, well, seemingly the extermination of Muslim women. Navalny was a CIA cutout. It's well documented how he went to Yale as part of a CIA cutout program. Just like Juan Guaido in Venezuela, these are the characters that the American security state builds up, tries to destroy democracy in Russia in this case, because Putin, whether you like him or don't like him, is popular in Russia, just as Maduro is in Venezuela. The idea that the Europeans are doubling down on this will just be seen by the global South, especially the Islamic world, as in the context of the Gaza genocide, as more proof that Western Europe is not Islamophobic and celebrates those who campaign for the deaths of Muslims. And it should also be noted that Navalny supported the Russian recapture of Crimea. They don't seem to mention that because Navalny was a nationalist. So, you know, they had to really persuade him on to go against Putin's policy on Eastern Ukraine. It's all lies, and the Western press, controlled by all these forces, will repeat the ad nauseam, the idea that Navalny, who, I don't know, would he be, he'd be jailed in Britain for hate crimes, technically. Somehow he's a hero.
Well, I will caveat, though, by saying that he did later reject his nationalist.
No. On the record, he said, my views have not changed, when asked about that video where he's shown shooting a Muslim woman in the head.
He did begin to reject that is because he requested a Quran, if you remember, when he was in prison and threatened to sue the prison for not giving him a Quran because he wanted to edit. I mean, you know, but...
Standard, but he's on the record.
You can make your own conclusion on that. But elsewhere...
About the execution. The United States are going to execute some guy who spent 50 years in jail, because you've got to remember the kind of death toll in the prison industrial complex in the United States, not really focused on by NATO nation press, but, you know, it's just another symptom, lethal injection.
Yeah. Well, it's not always lethal injection now, of course.
Yeah, exactly. This one, I think, is the nitrogen gas blast. But again, you know, is there going to be a UN Security Council resolution against the United States for its appalling use of
torture?
And murder. Yeah, cruel and unusual punishments.
Yeah, well, elsewhere then on Wednesday, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, of course, is finally appearing for a deposition on Wednesday after he previously had failed to appear. They've been wanting him for months. He said he would only agree to testify in an open hearing. And this is over the Republicans who are investigating his overseas business dealings in an attempt to link it back to his dad, the president of the United States. But I don't know, is this kind of damaging Biden's election run? It doesn't really appear to be, because it seems to have stayed outside of headlines and the news quite well, perhaps more so in the United States. But this news story doesn't seem to be as loud as you might have expected. Of course, during the last election, there was a lot of controversy surrounding Hunter Biden, but I don't know. What do you think?
Do you remember, were we working on it together when Rudy Giuliani told us that he had this laptop and everything, and we thought, it can't be true.
Yeah, we had to blur it on the screen and everything.
And sex workers and so on. Mm. Now all this Ukrainian stuff and the links of Ukraine. But I mean, will it damage Biden? I mean, look at the polls. Trump is going to win if he's not assassinated. And many on this media that doesn't want to focus on the Hunter Biden Ukraine connection, because they're all favor Biden and the Democrats, they are openly now talking about whether Biden really can run as the Democrat contender, given his mental health issues. And I should say, parallel to this is the Paramount media conglomerate's results come out on Wednesday. And Paramount is so important as part of the media totalitarianism in the United States. Did you know they own CBS, partnering with Amazon, Miramax Pictures, the CBS News, MTV, Viacom, Comedy Central? You have all these massive media conglomerates that can bombard you with music that backs the NATO military industrial complex, maybe by omission because it doesn't allow folk music or something, comedy, drama, the news itself, everything all wrapped up so that American minds are not allowed to know what's going on. But of course, Elon Musk has cut through that with X and Twitter. And it'll be interesting to to see more and more pressure on Twitter and X as the election approaches on November the 5th.
Mm-hmm. Akhil, let's move on to Thursday. And our Thursday,
by the way, you missed the thing about the Screen Actors Guild talking about this journalist, Catherine Herridge, who was fired from CBS News, owned by Paramount, because she was working on the Hunter Biden story. And there's going to be a hearing at the Congressional Judiciary Committee to investigate why this reporter was fired for just doing investigative reporting, clearly pro-Biden forces in the news there, saying journalists shouldn't be investigating this Hunter Biden story at all.
So perhaps us just even mentioning it will get us banned on YouTube, perhaps. Then.
Well, no, it won't. No. We won't get jobs at CBS News, clearly. That's the problem. But then again, maybe the Congress will say this was unfair and CBS News will allow her back. She's a veteran investigative journalist.
Yeah. Okay, then. Well, Thursday. Now, Thursday will actually be, of course, February the 29th, an extra day because of the leap year. Last one was, of course, in 2020, the year of the pandemic. But pop quiz action, why do we have a leap year?
So that women can propose to men. It's the kind of one day a year of sexism reversal.
That is great.
I think it's to do with the earth going around the sun, isn't it? Really?
It's something like that, but I'm just going to give you a quick interesting...
going around the sun and Pope Gregory.
Oh, I'm going to give you a quick little science lesson. For those watching, that this could be of interest to you. We know that it takes the earth 365.242 days to revolve around the sun. So every 4 years, that makes up an extra day. So the leap year effectively exists to keep the months in sync with events like solstices and such. But if you look at the maths, to have an extra day every 4 years actually overcompensates by about 44 minutes some years. So actually, in some years, you've got an extra 44 minutes they haven't accounted for. So that is why a leap day will only occur in a year divisible by both 100 and 400, not just 100, just to average it out. So sleep on that fact.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are Arab astronomers that helped out in that before the Catholic Church introduced that and different countries did. But I think the interesting aspect here is that famous photograph of the Earth taken from the moon and the idea in, and as so much is happening in space, that private spacecraft launching last week, suspicious one, is that why, when we have this small Earth, the mass murder is going on every single day at the hands of these NATO powers and the military-industrial complex? Because, of course, Thursday is the scheduled day when the United Nations Relief and Works Agency is perhaps going to run out of all blood. And millions of children will face starvation in the Arab world because of this brutal doubling down by the United States and Britain against the Palestinian people.
Yeah, well, if we just explain that and the reason why funding may run out, that's if the several countries who suspended funding last month don't resume it. And that's countries such as the US, the UK, Germany, all of which paused funding at the end of January after just 12 UN Relief and Works Agency staff members were said to have participated in some way in the Hamas attack in Israel on the 7th of October. UK Foreign Secretary David Cameron has said on this that the UK will resume, if the UK was to resume funding it, wants an absolute guarantee the organisation won't fund terrorists. Now, I mean,
they have to work with the terrorists because the government of Gaza is run by Hamas. It was the elected government.
I mean, I guess it's a difficult thing because I'm sure they weren't setting out to employ such people. But it's also difficult because the president of the UN General Assembly, Dennis Francis, he was the one who quickly sacked these staff who were accused, and an independent review is currently ongoing, though they haven't actually had any evidence by Israel over these allegations. But from the viewpoint of the UN, they're saying, well, we've made all the right moves we can do at this stage. There are 30,000 other members of staff at the UN Relief and Works Agency who haven't been accused of anything. So ultimately, withholding money for a humanitarian cause doesn't seem to be a proportionate response, arguably, particularly when an investigation hasn't been concluded.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, you supply the weapons to kill tens of thousands of children, And then the surviving children can't eat because you block the money and medicine and education and food from being able to go and pay the survivors. Already there were reports that the Israelis were taking anesthetics out of the aid money coming with UNRWA at the Rafah crossing, so operations would be conducted on children without anesthetics and anesthesia. This is such an indictment of Washington and London and Brussels. Although there are some Western European countries, in fairness, that continue, that say they will fund UNRWA, regardless of the brutality and arguable war criminality of the regimes in London and Washington.
Yeah, well, that remains to be seen what will happen with that. But on Friday, and we spoke about President Biden, but on Friday there's set to be a hearing on Donald Trump's charge over allegedly having classified documents stored at his Mar-a-Lago resort, as we've heard several times. That's ahead of the criminal trial that's due to begin on the 20th of May. There could be a delay on that still. The maximum sentence is 20 years in prison, though, as we know, Trump and his lawyers are trying to claim immunity, though, you know, who knows, he may have to be running the U.S.
in the immunity suit, didn't he? He failed in the immunity suit.
That was in another case. So they're still trying for this case. So obviously, you know, he's got four criminal trials waiting to be...
What he has to fear, it doesn't matter all these different things, because certainly in cases, if he can still run from prison.
From prison.
And he can pardon himself if it's a federal court sentence. If it's a state sentence, it'll be more difficult as president to pardon himself from prison. But the real fear about Trump is, of course, that he'll be killed by these forces that support NATO, because Trump has made it clear that he's not a fan of U.S. Overfunding of NATO. And that's the fear, I think, Trump supporters will have, not these court cases.
Well, no, I think the reason why this particular one is interesting when it's over documents is it was only, last week that, you know, if you're comparing it to Biden, who did the same thing and isn't facing charges for knowingly taking classified documents when he left vice presidency in 2017. And that's because a special counsel, Robert Hur, said of the most powerful man in the world right now, he's a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. I mean, you couldn't really make it up. You've got Trump, who's going to trial over this, and Biden, who's currently the most powerful man in the world, as I said, and he's gotten away with it because he's an old man who just made a mistake. So that's why I think it's interesting.
It is, and why is that not talked about even more than it was briefly? It's not being talked about because the media supports Biden there, because they're part of that military-industrial complex. So what? He has his finger on the button, and he has a poor. He can't remember. He wouldn't remember if he pushed the button. Maybe. I saw the Raytheon cancer patient Lloyd Austin from the Pentagon, who forgot to tell Biden that he was unconscious.
And I think that was a choice, though, wasn't it? He didn't want to
alarm.
So, yeah, exactly. So that was more choice, I'd say, over forgetting. But going to move on quickly to just another thing on Friday. Friday is 63 years to the day that assassinated U.S. President John F. Kennedy, whose nephew is running in this current election, I might add, established the Peace Corps, which was at least designed as an organization to promote peace and understanding across the world, the opposite of what many world leaders are arguably seeming to do now. So that's just a bit of food for thought.
Yeah, and actually the Peace Corps are kind of, what was it? They would serve with the military. I mean, for me, and I think for all of us, this guy, Aaron Bushnell, 25 Air Force serving member, who horrific videos have appeared online of him self-immolating, rather like Norman Morrison many years before in the Vietnam War, protests about U.S. involvement in the genocide in Gaza. It takes us back to the time of Kennedy in those 60s, U.S. mass killing in Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia, in a way, where, if you add up all the people killed by the Americans in Southeast Asia, Indochina, 6 million? It's a terrible time that we're hearing echoes of all that killing from the 60s now in the 21st century.
Yeah, well, on the subject of protesting on Saturday. It's marked as the Global Day of Action on Gaza, both in the US and elsewhere. So protests are set to take place in many countries in a show of support for Palestine. Will you be out on the streets with the Afshin?
Anger is mounting, isn't it? I mean, it really is. I mean, they've lost their publics. The interesting thing is we don't know whether Trump would have it. Trump would be, you know, supporting the genocide even more than Biden and Blinken. We don't really know. There is no leadership in Washington, and there's nothing that superpowers like China and Russia are going to do in return. They have nuclear weapons. That's what they have.
And no one's going to use them.
I don't think the genocide will end by next week, even though there are Security Council meetings. There will be more bombing of Yemen for showing solidarity with Palestine. And the UAE, I know where we're speaking to you from, keeps talking about the need for a ceasefire, as does the Arab League. No one cares, it seems, in Washington, London and Brussels.
Well, that kind of brings us on to the final story I have for you, which is on Sunday, the week-long biannual joint warrior NATO exercise will end on Sunday. And that's a multinational exercise led by the UK that involves warships, aircraft, marines and troops. And they practice, I guess, to see how effective they would be in the event of war. And this is the same NATO where member states are being called on to bring in conscription in the event of war with Russia. Think it's likely? Probably not.
Well, I don't think they will conscript people yet, but they have a real problem.
Well, no, but they're, you know, at the time of if war was to come, that's what they're saying, that NATO doesn't have the resources that they would need ordinary civilians to help to fight. But is it warmongering? Perhaps
the United States says that it's all of this is to help jobs in the Midwest. It's not for fighting wars. It's to pay off these big arms companies like Raytheon, which Lloyd Austin of the Pentagon served as a director. And Antony Blinken, of course, was on the board of a consultancy for military equipment. So it's really about that, because the United States lost in Vietnam. They lost in Korea. They lost in Afghanistan more recently. They lost in Syria. The United States loses its wars in Eritrea, in Somalia, lost its war on Nicaragua. It's not a country that wins its wars, really, is it? It's good at destroying civilizations and entire civic society, as it did in Libya and Iraq. But it can't win a war, can it? When's the last time the United States won a war? Civil war, maybe?
Okay. Well, I think on that note, we better leave it there. Thank you very much for watching or listening. We're on YouTube, Spotify, and other platforms. Please leave us a comment. Let us know what you think of these stories. And we will see you next time. Bye for now.
Bye.